Hare Krishna. Reading from Surrender Unto Me, an overview of the Bhagavad Gita. We've just completed reading chapter 9, and now we'll hear the summary of chapter 9 and the summary of chapter 10, and possibly even go on to chapter 10. Chapter 9, the first section, section A, hearing, qualifications and disqualifications. That's the first three verses of chapter 9. The non-envious and faithful will attain Krishna by hearing this most confidential knowledge about him. Faithlessness forces one to take birth and death. B. Aishwarya Gyan, Krishna's relationship to the world. That's texts 4 through 10. Krishna pervades, creates, and annihilates the entire cosmos through his material energy. Although Krishna is the supreme director, the material world nevertheless moves independently, and Krishna thus remains neutral and detached. Section C. Fools neglect bhakti, the divine don't. Texts 11 through 25. Fools who think Krishna's form is ordinary are defeated in their endeavors, 11 and 12. Mahatmas, who know that Krishna possesses a transcendental form, take shelter of him and worship him, 13 and 14. Actually, all who take shelter of a conception of the Supreme and worship it are ultimately worshiping Krishna, but they worship him indirectly. These are of three types. One, ekatvena, the monist, the lowest, worships himself as one with the Supreme. That's text 11 and 12. Two, visvato mukham, a worshiper of the material universal forms, the best, 16 through 19. And pritaktvena, a demigod worshiper is situated higher than the ekatvena. That's text 20 through 25. Section D, the glories of devotional service to Krishna, 26 through 34. One who worships Krishna with devotion, or even offers him the fruit of his work, becomes freed from reactions and comes to Krishna. The worship is simple and the results super excellent. 26 through 28. 2. Krishna shows favoritism to his devotees. Krishna considers a devotee saintly, even if he's committed a horrible act, and he quickly rectifies the devotee. That's in text 29 through 31. And 3. In the glories of devotional service, all are purified by devotional service. By thinking of Krishna, offering him obeisances and becoming absorbed in him, one will go back to Godhead, regardless of his position. 32 and 34, which is the final text of the ninth chapter, and the connection between chapters 9 and 10. Especially at the end of chapter 9, Krishna has described devotional service. To help generate further devotion in his devotee, Krishna now explains his opulence. Chapter 10, Section A, Understanding Krishna's Unknowability. One serves him. Texts 1 through 7. Krishna describes that his origin is impossible to understand, for he is the source of all. That which has been created cannot independently understand its own source. One who understands this serves Krishna with devotion. B. The Chaturshloki Gita, text 8 through 11. Krishna describes the opulence of his position as the source of all, the eagerness of his devotees to love and serve him, and his own reciprocation with that eagerness. The essence of the Bhagavad Gita is stated in four verses. 1. All of Krishna's opulence are summarized in text 8, By knowing these opulences as the Lord's, one can attain the realization of texts 9, 10, and 11. 2. Knowing Krishna as the source of all, the devotees cannot maintain their lives without him. They thus worship him with the great desire to described in text 9. 3. Krishna's reciprocation with such devotees is described in text 10. 4. The devotee's real intelligence, which overcomes the ignorance caked upon his heart by millions of births, is awarded by Krishna, as described in text 11. The Lord enters his devotee's heart just as a bee enters a lotus flower. Section C. This is text 12 through 18. Arjuna accepts Krishna's position and requests to hear more of his opulences. Arjuna refers to previous authorities and confirms that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He then prays to Krishna to know more of his glories so he can always think of him and remember him. Otherwise, as he stated earlier, Krishna will remain unknowable. D. Krishna's opulences, 9 through 42, 19 through 42. In response to Arjuna's request, Krishna describes the most prominent amongst his limitless, all-pervading opulences. After naming 82 opulences, Krishna summarizes by explaining that these opulences simply indicate his glory, for he pervades and supports the entire universe with a mere fragment of his total potency. Chapter 10, The Opulences of the Absolute. At the end of chapter 9, Krishna describes pure devotional service and how he reciprocates with his devotees. Krishna concluded that chapter with his most confidential instruction, Manmana Bhava Mad Bhakto. Engage your mind always in thinking of me. Become my devotee. Krishna now will continue to reveal the confidential essence of knowledge, Raja Vidya Raja Kuyam. Chapter 10 is entitled The Opulence of the Absolute, Vibhuti Yoga. And herein, Krishna further describes his opulences, potencies, and position. The first verse. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "Listen again, O mighty Arjuna, because you are my dear friend. For your benefit, I shall speak to you further, giving knowledge that is better than what I have already explained." Comment. So the Prabhupada comments. Previously, beginning with the seventh chapter, the Lord has already explained his different energies and how they are acting. Now in this chapter, he explains his specific opulences to Arjuna. In the previous chapter, he has clearly explained his different energies to establish devotion in firm conviction. Again in this chapter, he tells Arjuna about his manifestations and various opulences. That's the end of this citation from Srila Prabhupada. The comment continues. Krishna has just established that devotion to him is the goal of life, and he now discusses his opulences to increase Arjuna's devotion. How does knowing Krishna's opulences increase one's devotion? Imagine discovering that an intimate friend is really a famous billionaire. He is so powerful that when he snaps his fingers, people line up in their eagerness to serve him. We then realize, what a wonderful friend we have. Our understanding of his wealth and power has naturally enhanced our appreciation of him. We feel fortunate to be friends with someone so great. Similarly, when a devotee understands Krishna's greatness in detail, he feels increased gratitude for his good fortune of being able to reciprocate intimately with such a great and powerful Lord. Krishna's opulence is simultaneously knowable and unknowable. Is this a contradiction? No, because we can know the unknowable to some degree, not through our own limited abilities, but when Krishna reveals himself to us. Even a fraction of knowledge about Krishna, Krishna's otherwise unknowable position, inspires us to serve him. In this verse, Krishna glorifies the knowledge he will speak by saying that he is giving knowledge that is better than what he has already explained. Okay, we shall end here and soon continue, Krishna willing. Hare Krishna.